Most of us are familiar with the words and laughter of humorous and southern gentleman Jerry Clower, who described once his affection for boiled okra. Have we got any boiled okra fans out there? I'm sure we've got some fried okra fans. I know I've got a couple in my household. But boiled okra is, well, it goes down a little more quickly, but we're not as quick to run toward it, are we? Jerry Clower said it was a delicacy. In fact, it was such a treat, he said it caused the worst dog fight he'd ever seen in his life. Said his mom had fixed up a big old belly washer full of boiled okra and there was some left over. She told him to go out and pour it in the dog pan. He said as soon as he poured the remaining boiled okra in the pan, a big old hound ran up there and slurped it down all in one felt swip, swipe, and slurp. He got it so fast, he thought one of the other dogs got it and jumped on him and just whooped him up one side and down the other. He said they fought all afternoon. And didn't but one of them know what they were fighting over. He wanted it. And he maybe even wanted it more because he thought the other got it. Aren't dogs silly? Aren't they funny for the way that they kind of harbor things and sometimes they don't even really want it. They just don't want the other one to have it. I remember that as a young person, we still laugh about it in our family. We were keeping one of my little cousins, Mom was, Cammy. She was keeping her for a trip that her parents had gone on. And that night for supper, she fried up some good pork chops. Now, boy, it's hard to beat good fried pork chops, isn't it? And my brother and Mickey and I, she'd made us two of the biggest ones. That still wasn't enough, though. And she made little old Cammy, who didn't weigh 40 pounds soaking wet, I'm sure, two pork chops as well. Well, we thought that was a pretty good idea, Mickey and I did. We thought we were at least going to get to half one of those pork chops that was left over. So, of course, as we often did, we ate ours real fast, so we would get dibs on what Cammy didn't eat that was left over. And you know what that gluttonous girl had the nerve to do? She choked down both of those pork chops. I remember now, I can vividly see it in my mind. Her old cheeks were swollen and her head was kind of swaying. She took that last bite. Almost fell over in the chair. She didn't even want it. She just didn't want us to have it. Or maybe she wanted it more because we wanted it, right? Wasn't that mean of her? But my spirit, my attitude, I guess I can confess, since I'm here in the pulpit, really wasn't much better. May have even been worse because, you know what, it made me kind of have a grudge toward her. I was sitting there and I'd eaten my pork chop so fast I didn't even enjoy mine because I was worried about getting hers. I was so consumed with what she had, wanting what she had, grudging what she had, that I couldn't even cherish what I had. Anybody ever relate to that? Well, it seems to be the nature of the struggle and the challenge that we hear in our parable that Jesus laid out for his friends this morning. You know, I find that whether it's kind of a prod or encouragement, it's certainly informational for us to know that Jesus isn't talking to strangers here. He is sharing this parable with friends. In other words, his intimate circle. He's wanting to help them to understand the importance of their relationship with one another and the world around them. You know, this text today doesn't need a lot of help, does it? It speaks pretty plainly by itself. The importance and the beauty of the generosity of our God. The generosity and grace that transcends what we deserve and what we earn and gives us what we can't get on our own. Jesus uses this parable to remind us that truly all things, and certainly those that matter most, are attributed as gifts from God. And we should cherish them as such. Not something we're owed, or something we deserve, or something we've earned, but a precious gift from the Lord of life that cherishes us as His own. In this passage, we hear this reading where those that came last received the full wage. And those who started early and worked the full day, well, they received the same thing, but they had themselves to seem to be wanting more. They'd taken on a spirit much like mine over the pork chop saga. And the hound dog that was afraid of the other dog that cut in on his turf, they took on a spirit of grudge, of resentment, and lack of commitment, contentment. They were so consumed with what the other was getting that they couldn't cherish what they had already received. God had given them, the landowner in our text today, had given what was expected, what was earned, and what was deserved, but they were consumed with what was received by the other. You know, in our faith, and as I mentioned earlier, in our tradition, our Reformed tradition, we've been celebrating that on our Wednesday evening activities, going through a renewal of church membership, remembering what it means to be Presbyterian, what it means to practice our faith in the Reformed tradition, but more than that, what it means to be the church, people of faith. You'll remember back, some of you that were there a few weeks ago when we talked about worship, how that is so essential in the teachings of our church to the beginning of our faith. It's recorded in the catechism of our Reformed tradition, written back in the 1600s. You remember that very first one? I bet Miss Billy remembers it. That very first question of the catechism: what is the chief end of man? What's the chief of all humanity? What's our number one most goal? It's this, those of you that remember it: to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It begins with that. Glorifying God, giving thanks to God, worshiping our Lord. That's at the bare roots of our faith. As Presbyterians, but yes, as Christian people. To give thanks and gratitude for what God has done for us. That's number one, right? But you know what this text has done for me today? It's pushed me a little further. If Scripture teaches us, and the roots of our church teach us what we should do, oh no, I've got to wrestle with this as well. This text gives me a hint at what we shouldn't do. Isn't it always about that in some respect? The call of what we should do and what we shouldn't do? We pray that on Sunday mornings. Have you ever noticed that in our Lord's Prayer? The first prayer that we have in our tradition of praying it, we say, Lord, forgive us our debts. I've had people ask me, said, who changed the Lord's Prayer? Why do y'all pray for debts instead of trespasses? Well, there's good news. They're both sins, so we got it covered, okay? But think of that word. A debt is something you owe, right? If you owe a debt with your banker, well, you need to pay your bill. You still owe something. So there's a call to our faith to do something. What we owe, we pay our gratitude to God. We offer glory to the one who made us. But then there's that trespass thing. Well, any good hunter knows that trespassing is doing what we shouldn't do. Going somewhere we shouldn't have gone. So we ask God to forgive us for what we've left undone, and to forgive us for what we've done and we shouldn't have done. And that's the wrestle, it seems, in the tension of our text today. Yes, the catechism has it right. Our faith starts And the most essential and chief end of our faith is to glorify God, to praise Him, or in the spirit of our emotions, to count our blessings and to be grateful, right? So if that's what we should do, what should we not do? Here's the hint. We find it in our text. Jesus says it. Well, let me just say it this way. It's been softened a bit here in this translation, where Jesus is quoted in saying this parable of quoting the landowner. He says, "Are you envious?" in verse 15. Are you envious because I'm generous? Some Greek translators interpret it this way: don't have an evil eye on what I've done for the other. In other words, we're called to be people of gratitude, and we're called not to be people of envy. We're called to appreciate what we have, not be consumed with what the other has. Because when we're consumed with what the other have, when we're eaten up with envy, I think those interpreters of the Greek got it right. That's the root, not of glory, but of evil. It's the working of the evil one, not of God. When we're consumed with wanting and yearning and coveting what the other has instead of celebrating what we have, well, then there isn't much glory there, isn't there? We can't be thankful if we're consumed with what we don't have. We celebrate spirits, attitudes of gratitude when we count our blessings and, yes, name them one by one. We know joy. Have you thought about it in that sense? We know joy when we're thankful. And then the opposite is true. If we're consumed with envy and grudging spirits and worried about the other getting what's not due them, then there's little joy in our heart and spirit to celebrate what we have. You know, I came over to the church this week. Lynn and I were here on Wednesday, and old Dr. Norris Howe showed up in the middle of the day on Wednesday. He should have been at his place making money, working on teeth. And he showed up at the church on a Wednesday afternoon. You know what he was doing? He was looking around this place. He took off time from work, and he'd been doing some handyman work around here. Had some other people's working. They repaired our ceiling, fixed our closet doors back there, put in new tiles over in the Gregg Center, did all this work for his church. And you know what that guy, he was beaming from ear to ear, grinning. And he said the strangest thing to me. You're not going to believe what he said. Guess what he said? I said, "Doc, thank you for these generous gifts. Thank you for taking off time and coming here and giving of yourself, using your time and talents to improve your church." You know what he said? I'm not even going to tell you. Yeah, I guess I better tell you. He grinned from ear to ear and he said, "Boy, this sure is fun." Fun? He's spending his money. He's taking off work where he could be making more money. He's using his time at the church, and he said that's fun. This guy's lost it, hadn't he? How could that be fun? Maybe he's lost it in some ways. Oh, but maybe, just maybe, he's found it in other ways. Maybe that's what the songwriter who told us about grace meant when he said, "I once was lost, but now I'm found." I think Doc got it right. It's fun, church, when we get out of ourselves. It's fun, church, when we give of our time and our talents, our wealth, and our gifts for the glory of the kingdom. I can't tell you how excited it is for me to stand before you and proclaim that. It's fun to take on spirits of gratitude and generosity, counting our blessings and giving ourselves for the world around us. Because you know the truth is, for me, when I consider this text, you know who I connect with the most? At my worst, and Monya can tell me, she's seen me at my worst a couple of times in these 20 years we've been married. Maybe a couple of times this weekend, right? At our worst, let's be honest, if we connect with somebody in this text today, most often at our worst, we connect with those that showed up at the last hour. Isn't that the truth? We most closely resemble those when we're at our worst who deserve the least. But yet, God, in His generosity, in His grace, gifted us with an abundance of love and life. Friends, you are blessed and loved by a generous God. Go forth as people of generosity and share Him with the world around you, now and forever. Amen. Will you stand with me now and let's join together and celebrate the goodness of